Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast, the Arizona Daily Stars podcast for all things Wildcats related. I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley here with Greg Hansen. Greg, I try a new tagline every week, and they're all just awful.
What was the last one you tried?
I think we've been your one-stop shop for stuff.
Oh, yeah,
we've been your go-to place for stuff. It's just, it all sucks. It's you'd think we work with words for a living, but it's just terrible. Let's get caught up, Greg. We did not meet last week. But there's so much to cover. Let's start with the weirdest sports story I think we've got going right now, which is Herm Edwards in Arizona State. Word was out this morning that he's the guy, and that Michael Crow is just going to sign off on it. Michael Crow said today, I trust AD Ray Anderson, and we'll have something done later this week. What if Herm Edwards is the new head coach at ASU?
It would be, I mean, they use the word innovative all the time,
right?
Don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Michael Crow and Ray Anderson, innovative this, fan affinity, whatever it is. I think they just think we're smarter than you are.
Right.
We're going to try this new thing, and it's going to work, and you're going to look at us and say, man, those guys are smart.
See, it'd be new if Arizona didn't do it 15 years ago. Arizona hired John Makovic out of an ESPN studio.
Yeah.
And John Makovic, you could argue, had more college coaching bona fides than Herm Edwards, because Herm Edwards has none.
Oh, not even close.
Yeah.
He'd coached Illinois this close to the Rose Bowl.
He was the head coach of Texas.
Yeah.
At Texas. This is not innovative to me, unless Ray Anderson knows something that we don't.
Maybe they are on to what they think is the new template for coaching Power 5 college football. Mm-hmm. And that would be like Arizona hiring Teddy Bruschi to be the head coach.
Right.
And he hiring two strong coordinators like Sonny Dykes and Marcel Yates. Mm-hmm. And Teddy would be the front guy. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have to roll up his sleeves like you do. And would that work?
I don't know. And basically what you do is you make it the place to be for coordinators as a stopover before they become head coaches. And you cycle through coordinators every couple of years.
I'm going to be fascinating to watch it to see how it works. I've been impressed by Herm Edwards on TV.
Well, yeah, he's great on TV.
Very appealing and smart and a guy you'd like to know.
Sure.
I know he plays golf like 7 days a week, I think.
Oh, can't do that in Tempe.
He was on the Golf Channel that showed him, they'd followed him through 9 holes.
Really?
Yeah, it was about a year ago.
Wow.
And he lived somewhere in the San Francisco area, and I thought, wow, what a good job. Mm-hmm. He golfs 6 days a week and flies to ESPN one day a week.
Right. Gosh. Well, as long as college coaching resumes don't matter, John Fox will probably be unemployed here soon. Herm Edwards and John Fox, college teammates. Make John Fox your defensive coordinator. Let's go get Marty Schottenheimer out of somewhere. I mean, this is unprecedented, and what's strange is this. When names like this pop up, they go, well, it worked at USC. Yeah, but that's the exception. That's the one time it did work. With Pete Carroll at USC, who's a failed NFL coach. To me, the odds of this working are like 2%.
And as long as you mention Pete Carroll, there must have been 5 NFL quarterbacks within walking distance of the USC campus, and he recruited all of them.
Right.
And that's not going to happen at Arizona State.
Right. You and I disagree on this next point. I liked that Ray Anderson sat up in the middle of a press conference and said, we fired Todd Graham because we're tired of going to crappy bowls. And you know what? This is a top three job in the league.
You think it's a top three job?
I think it's a top three job in the league.
No way.
I do.
You've been in the league.
It's a football school. It is a football school.
Who says?
It's a football
school. It was in 1977.
Well, you got to be something. They're not a basketball school. They're a baseball school. Baseball school?
They were.
They were. To me, and it struck me listening to and watching the U of A-ASU football game, that place gets loud when things are going good. When it's full, Sun Devil Stadium's a rollicking place. I think it's easy to recruit Southern California kids to Tempe and to Phoenix because it reminds you a little bit of L.A. I'm telling you, I think they are a sleeping giant. They have, cover your ears, our listeners in Tempe, they have very low academic standards. They're trying to become this great American university, and I think they're doing a pretty good job of it. You need something as your sort of marketing and PR arm, and it's football.
I just think we would have seen evidence of it a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a long time. 1996, they went to the Rose Bowl, and then they haven't been any better in Arizona.
Yeah.
21 years. Yeah. Wouldn't we have seen more?
Maybe. And you make a good point. They're talking like they're Ohio State, and they have the college football resume of Cal. You know, but if you're thinking about a place within the league that is, I think, poised to do better things and really be a power. I mean, what makes them different? You're going to jump me for this. How are they any different from Washington? It's a good analogy. Major pro college team in a pro sports town.
Washington never lost its core football following.
Okay.
Started about 1975, and it hasn't lost, even though they went 0-12
right.
About 10 years ago.
Right. Ty Williams.
It's back.
Yeah.
And the Seattle community has always been a football community. I just don't think Temp, and all those people, not all the people, but there's so many, they're Husky fans. They grew up Husky fans.
Right.
In Tempe, they didn't grow up Sun Devil fans, just like here.
Right. They grew up Ohio State fans, yeah, and Michigan fans, and Minnesota fans, because nobody's from there.
Yeah.
Nobody's from here. All right. Well, fine. You're convincing me a little bit. To me, there's a grand hypocrisy in saying we should be one of the top three teams in the league. And ladies and gentlemen, your next Sun Devils head coach, Herm Edwards. Go get Kevin Sumlin. If you aspire to be great, go get somebody big. Break the bank and go get Nick Saban. They can't do that. They won't do that.
No.
Right? Is there an ethical conflict in Ray Anderson being a former agent and Herm Edwards being one of his clients?
No.
No?
No, I think it's just good insight on his. Fortunately, he knows the guy's character and he can bring him in, trust him. Mm. He must see a ton in him. Mm. But really, what does Ray Anderson have to lose? I think he's 64.
Right.
He's made a fortune. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need to work very much longer. If this doesn't work, he retires.
Well, how about this? By the time everybody, if Herm Edwards sucks, can we say sucks on the podcast? If Herm Edwards sucks, we won't know for like 4 years, right? And by then, Ray Anderson could be on a beach somewhere.
That's what I mean. His stake in this is small.
Right.
ASU has gone through athletic directors. I can't name them all.
Right.
From what I got here, and most of them are pretty crummy.
Fred Miller.
He was the first one.
There's one. Lisa Love. There's another.
Charles Harris. They had the guy that went to Ohio State.
Gene Smith.
They had a guy that went to Duke. Kevin White. And at ASU, none of them did anything of note.
Right. You know, Kevin White's kid is the basketball coach of Florida.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. It will be certainly interesting. Football coaches, to me, are such important hires for the face of the university. I think more so than basketball, more so than baseball or softball. I mean, your football team dictates how your university is viewed, I think, nationwide.
Except Duke.
Maybe Arizona.
Yeah.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, most people probably couldn't name North Carolina's football coach.
Yeah. They went like 2-10 this year.
Right. It's Larry. Fedora. There we go. But it's such an important hire. Herm Edwards knocks it out of the park in the relatability, in the personality, by all accounts, he is a very good dude. But this is an outside-the-box hire like none I've ever seen, if this is what they're doing.
To me, it's still better than hiring another Dennis Erickson, another Dirk Cutter, another Larry Marmee, and Todd Sparky Graham. I don't know.
But this is a buyer's market. Kevin Sumlin's out there, isn't he?
But he got fired at a place that has all the stuff.
Mike Gundy and his gross mullet want out of Oklahoma State like nobody's business. Do you think he's a good coach?
Yeah.
I think he's a good coach. Maybe he'd work at ASU. I mean, there are real coaches out there who can be had for what ASU has to pay them.
Yeah, That's another podcast. Where do they get the money? They make less money than Arizona does.
They do. They make, well, yeah. And since when was ASU allowed to do stuff like this?
Because Michael Crow is bulletproof. He can do whatever he wants, and their online enrollment is so significant, mm-hmm. you can get revenue from there.
Right. And not to compare one to the other, but to me, this is like the Grand Canyon basketball hire. Grand Canyon is not known for much, but if their basketball program, when their basketball program wins, stock goes up, enrollment goes up. I think at ASU it's the same thing. If they're trying to get 150,000 students online and in person at their school, having a winning football program is key to that. And maybe you can't put a price on winning. Maybe they feel like they can buy their way into the top 10.
Bingo.
But if they could buy their way in the top 10, couldn't they do better than Herm Edwards?
I just think that this is, they've decided to go another direction and be the first to do so.
Greg, we'll wrap things up here pretty quickly. In 5 minutes or less, tell me about Sean Miller Wednesday night, post-game. Arizona beats Long Beach State, and he was pissed.
It was almost like he should have had to have a ticket to be in the room.
Yeah.
Because after a U of A home game, mm-hmm. Miller takes about 40 minutes to come into the main media room. I don't know what he does. Yeah. I know he does like a 4 minute radio thing.
Right. But then, those of us on deadline say, thank you very much for taking 40 minutes.
And the clock was ticking last night, and he walked in about 9 o'clock, something like that.
Right.
And he sat down and he didn't even need any questions. He was so articulate and in such rhythm, and he didn't stop. Mm-hmm. And he had all this big message. Most people have heard about it by now. Mm-hmm. He just ranted, and it was hilarious at times. He talked about how the players don't get Buckeyes,
right.
that they can't trick or treat.
Right. The trick or treating analogy is great. Is you can't just put on a costume and say, and go trick or treating and get candy. Like he said that this year's team is basically wearing the Arizona uniform and expecting to win games, when really there's more that goes into it than that.
I would pay significant money to hear his actual rant in front of the team after the game. It must have gone on for a half hour, mm-hmm. because I'm sure he used more colorful language.
Well, likely, yes.
And, I mean, he seemed like he wanted to strangle, not strangle, I don't mean that. He seemed like he wanted just to do it. He said, our players are in a hurry to get home and watch the highlights on SportsCenter. And then he took glee in saying, but they can't because we're not on SportsCenter anymore. I mean, it was... He would have kept rolling. Finally, it was like 9:40, and everybody had deadline, and it was like, nobody else? Is that it?
What's interesting to me, Greg, is we wondered early in the year where the adversity would come from, right? This is a team that is playing nobody in non-conference play. Well, adversity just reared its ugly head about a week ago, didn't it?
And we think we know a little bit about college basketball. If you know anyone who saw this coming, tell me who that person is.
Oh, well, and what's bad was they caught a bad break in the Bahamas. Not only did they lose, but the two teams that I thought could beat them also lost, right?
The three teams that beat them went 0-6, yeah,
otherwise. So it's like somebody like Purdue, well, you know, if there's a saving grace to losing in the first round, well, you don't have to play Purdue. Well, except Purdue lost, you know. And yeah, it was ugly. To me, what must really burn Sean Miller is this is a team that doesn't like playing defense. This is and there aren't guys down the bench who are chomping at the bit to go in and play defense. He said 3 weeks ago that Emmanuel Aycott may be the most polished defender he'd ever had as a freshman. And he said last night that Emmanuel Aycott can basically go to the end of the bench and sit there.
He said he's not a stopper.
Right.
And 3 weeks ago, I went back and looked it up. He said he's a stopper. He played 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
It's incredible. And this is that magic month, right? December's coming up tomorrow morning. December's the time they're going to lose a player or two, because they always do. Mm-hmm. People are going to go home. Mom and dad are going to, or their AAU coach are going to say, what do you mean 5 minutes a game?
Yeah.
What do you mean he says you have to play defense?
Can you afford to lose a guy with that much upside?
Especially when I'm not talking about Aycott specifically, but you know.
I mean,
somebody's not coming back, because every year there's somebody who doesn't come back. I mean, we can build an all-star team of Arizona guys who left mid-season. Justin Simon, Craig Victor.
Will Bynum.
Yeah, exactly. Who's the guy who wants to do that? Reuben Douglas. Led the nation in scoring the next year.
And they saw it coming.
Yeah. To me, that's where the new adversity is going to come. I think Arizona's going to struggle with Texas A&M, but the rest of their non-conference schedule, you kind of go like, But the adversity may come when that roster gets a little thinner, when Sean Miller gets a little angrier. All of a sudden, Greg, in a month, they're going to be in the thick of the Pac-12 season. They've got to figure out a whole lot of stuff in the next 30 days.
A month from today, they play Arizona State and at McHale. Mm-hmm. So much will change between now and then.
Oh, no.
Really? Could you predict who's going to even be in the lineup on December 30th?
If they played today, who would be favored?
I still think this is not that big of a deal. I still don't think Arizona State's going to come here and win.
Right. Nobody remembers the games you lose in November, yeah. Right? Which is, Lute Olson always went, then let's play everybody good, right?
Yeah.
Sean Miller's approach is a little different, I think. But you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, do they still have a 7-footer who can shoot threes? Yes, they do. Then I think they have a chance most nights.
It's Miller spent so much time talking about Kadeem Allen.
Right.
It was like he'd walk in carrying a pitcher of him and putting it next to his heart. And if you look back, you think, I really didn't notice Kadeem Allen that much, did you? But Miller sure did.
It's like he's got one of those little prayer cards of Kadeem Allen, like taking a charge or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. T.J. McConnell's the same way. I mean, we've all heard the T.J. McConnell's not walking through that front door speech, too. Once these guys leave, they become mythical creatures, I think.
I mean, Aaron Gordon, Miller raved about him last night. Hardest working guy in the gym. Mm-hmm. On the same night, he scored 40 points, believe it or not.
Wow.
When Aaron Gordon was here, I think he was a terrific rebounder and could run the court and mm-hmm. dunk.
Right.
But he couldn't shoot.
No. How about Stanley Johnson? Same thing. Oh. Stanley Johnson came in here dripping with talent. I mean, I think you worry about a worst-case scenario for somebody like DeAndre Ayton, and it's that he becomes a Stanley Johnson type, is that defense isn't his forte, he disappears a little bit. The day the season is over, he enters the NBA draft mm-hmm. and is taken ninth, and people forget that he went here. I think DeAndre Ayton's probably due for bigger, better things than that.
Boy, if he's not bigger and better, the season won't go very far.
Right. Between the ongoing FBI stuff and this and everything else, do you think Sean Miller sleeps?
I think he sleeps more now than he'd ever slept.
Wow.
I think he goes home early, goes to bed early.
Wow.
I think he's rocked his world, and I don't think he spends all night on the phone anymore like he used to.
Mm-hmm.
This is just me guessing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's changed his entire behavior.
Mm-hmm. It's win today,
yeah.
Worry about tomorrow later kind of a thing. Wow, that's crazy. All right, well, that'll do it here. Is there anything else? Are we missing something? Okay, here we go. The good people at the Heisman Trophy Trust, Greg Hansen,
have
made both you and I promise that we will not say who we're going to vote for ahead of time. It is punishable by death or stoning or something. Let's talk about Khalil Tate real quick. His performances the last 2 weeks, I think, have eliminated him from serious Heisman contention.
Oh, he's out.
Do you think there's a chance in heck he gets invited to New York?
No.
As a finalist, as a top five guy?
No way.
Who goes?
Boy, they're going to have trouble getting the fifth guy, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Most years, of course not. This year, I don't know. He's a finalist for an award I hadn't heard of until today, which is the Manning Trophy. Goes to a quarterback, shockingly.
It was like Ridfrod's a finalist for the Munger Trophy.
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't know.
But guy who yells at people the most?
For post-game press conference achievement? I don't know. I mean, I think it's Baker Mayfield's trophy, probably.
Yeah. I mean, who's second and third, though?
Bryce Love's in there, I think.
Probably second.
I mean, especially if they can win the Pac-12 tomorrow night, I think Bryce Love's in there. Hard to say. SC doesn't have a real champion.
Only five guys are this year.
It's true. Do they just take the top vote getters? I mean, is it always five or three or four? Or is it?
I was thinking five might be too many. Maybe it's four.
Maybe it's four.
Yeah. I should know. I'm the chairman of the committee.
That's why.
In the state.
That's why I'm making sure we're paying close attention to the rules here. I don't know. It's interesting. You voted for a ton of Heisman trophies over the years. Where does this class rank? Strong, weak?
Weak.
Yeah.
One candidate. Love could have. Stanford just didn't go the next step for Love to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, who I'm going to vote for third.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not the legal guy.
No. It's so funny that this is a year where you had, mean, you had a returning Heisman winner in Lamar Jackson, who was unstoppable. I mean, he was Khalil Tate 413 games a year ago. You have a returning Heisman guy. You have, you know, Alabama with Jalen Hurts and some really good players. On paper, this was supposed to be a great year.
Yeah, Ohio State.
Right, let's look in the Pac-12. Josh Rosen was a preseason Heisman Trophy candidate. Josh Rosen stopped playing at halftime of the Cal game, and a coach got fired.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. A coach got fired, and then a week later, Josh Rosen stopped playing at halftime of the Cal game. Sam Darnold was the best player in America New Year's Day last year, this year. Now he's just not the best, might not be the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah, Luke Falk skidded to a finish this year.
Right. And Washington's killer, right? Washington's a really good team. Washington doesn't have an offensive player that makes you go, wow.
No. Yeah. Khalil Tate was ahead of all of them for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Who's the Pac-12 offensive player of the year?
It got to be Bryce Love.
Yeah. Who's the first team All-Pac-12 quarterback?
By default, I guess Browning would get it by default, don't you think?
Yeah. If it's Tate, Arizona's never had a first team All-Pac-12 quarterback.
Never. Matt Scott was going to get it in 2012, and then he fumbled with like 8 minutes to go against Arizona State.
Gosh. It's funny. We said this last week, and I'm not sure if I totally believed my own crap a week ago. But remember last week we said, it always comes down to the ASU game. If they lose, it's a disaster. They lost, and it's kind of a disaster. Like, they lost, and their quarterback got hurt.
Right? It's the definition of football disaster.
Right. I mean, not only did you lose, but your quarterback got hurt. I mean,
and you were second-guessed.
Right. Let's say Khalil Tate can't go for the Las Vegas Bowl, or for the postseason. I think he will be able to go. But if he can't go for the postseason, who wants Arizona in the postseason?
But that's true of the whole bowl field.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Arizona Bowl.
Yeah. Who you got, Greg? Who you got?
I mean, I had a chance to sell my school, Utah State, to an executive on the board here yesterday, and I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. They were looking at Utah State.
Wow. Wow. I think New Mexico State's a good team for that game, though.
I do, too.
But who would they play? And can they get a bounce back Pac-12 team? Has Arizona won too many games to be considered for that? You'd have to think so, right?
Yeah, because Vegas can't pass.
Right.
Because they're going to get the winner of the Boise-Fresno game, right?
Yeah, yep.
And then Arizona would be the natural to put against them.
Right. If it's Boise, Arizona in the Vegas Bowl, rematch of the Fiesta Bowl from a couple years ago, that's something.
Yeah.
I mean, it beats Shreveport, Louisiana with in the snow or whatever it was, right?
Daniel Burke and I drove to some party on the Friday night before the game there, and it had been raining and sleeting and everything. There was a puddle of water about 20 yards wide.
Right.
Daniel didn't see it. We drove in. We couldn't get out. We had to pay to get towed out of a puddle next to a bar.
I love it. So Shreveport's not your place, huh?
That was pretty bleak.
Dude, who knew that Louisiana got cold? I had no idea. I thought it was
snow flurries. Yeah.
Gosh. I thought it was fruity drinks and good food 12 months a year. Apparently not.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast. Greg Hansen, thank you for joining us. Can we do this again next week?
Yeah.
Excellent. Until next time, I'm Star Sports Editor Ryan Finley. How do we cap this? See you later.
See you next time.
See you next time. There we go. Until next time, see you next time.